Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
Dating. You know, when you're young, dating is really easy. Dating is basically confined to violence. Like when you're in kindergarten age, you know, the way you show someone you like them is you tackle them on the playground or punch them or pull their hair. It's like that is romance, right, in kindergarten. And then you start to get older, and dating gets a little more complicated, right? Because you get to be like, you know, third, fourth grade maybe, and you get into the whole note writing process where you're writing, do you like me? Check one, yes or no. And then there's a question of who gives them the note. You give them the note. I'm not going to give them the note. You give them the note. And there's all that. And then you get older, it gets more complicated because maybe around like 13, you start going out. Now, you're not actually going anywhere. Like, you can't drive. You're not going anywhere, but you're going out. And then it gets more complicated because you hit high school and college and adult dating, and there's a lot of approaches to dating, right? Some of us maybe have approached dating kind of like a sport, you know, how much can I score? And then there are other people maybe in this room who have spent most of their dating years being hurt, and there's all kinds of bitterness now, and there's a heavy heart, maybe because of the guys who are trying to score, I don't know, But man, dating gets complicated over the years. And maybe you're at a place now where you're like, have I been doing this right? Maybe you've been coming here for a while and you're trying to get God in your life. You're trying to center your life around God and you're asking questions like, is there a better way? Maybe like me, you're past the dating stage, but you're now married and you're a parent and you realize it's your responsibility to coach your child through those dating years and you're thinking, I don't want them to do it the way I did. And so does God tell us anything about dating? And the good news is he does. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to look at just three big principles that we can learn about dating from the Bible. And before we do, though, I want to talk to you about what I think dating is. In this series, Dating, Mating, Procreating, we're going to talk about dating, we're going to talk about marriage, and we're going to talk about parenting. But when we talk about dating, here's what I'm thinking, and some of you are going to think this is weird, and you're going to disagree with me, and that's okay. But when I talk about dating, I'm talking about two people who have both decided that they feel like they are now ready to move into marriage, and so they are trying through this relationship to define and determine whether this other person is the right person to go into marriage with. That's what I'm talking about. I personally am not big on dating for dating's sake. You know, I'm going to date because I want to have fun, because I want somebody to go out with. Because what I've seen, and I bet you have too, is that that can cause a lot more harm than good. You know, there's hurt feelings, there's broken hearts, you start to get cynical, you start to get this heavy, kind of guarded heart, and there's all kinds of memories and issues now going into marriage. It just does more harm than good. So I'm not talking about just dating for fun. I'm talking about dating where it's like this process of, is this the right person? Is this the person I want to spend the rest of my life with? Okay, so that's what I'm defining dating as. So three big principles for dating, right places, right people, right timing. Okay, first, right places. Have you ever noticed that the place where you are affects you in all kinds of ways? It changes your perspective. It changes the way you act, the way you think, the decisions you make. It does. Like take eating. If you go to a fancy restaurant, like, you know, we're going to spend some money today. We're going to a fancy restaurant. You dress different, right? You act different. You use your polite manners. Maybe you put your pinky out when you drink. You know, you're going to look fancy. You know, it's just very different than if you went out to eat at Del Taco, right? It's just a different experience. And the inverse is also true. Have you ever noticed when you eat outside, everything changes, right? Like there are certain foods you eat outside that you would never eat inside, right? Like those frozen hockey puck hamburgers that they sell by the dozen in boxes, those things have never seen the inside of a house, right? Like they don't know that frying pans exist. They go outside, right? And hot dogs. I'm not talking about all beef Oscar Mayer hot dogs. I'm talking about hot dogs ingredients you really don't want to know. Those are hot dogs for outside, right? And when you're cooking them, if one falls on the ground and rolls into the dirt, you just pick it up and eat it because we're eating outside. You know, you never do that inside. You know, I have never washed my hands eating outside. I have used silverware out of a garbage can. I have drank from other people's cups. We're just eating outside, right? Things you would never do inside. But it's okay because we're eating outside. Right? Where you are, the place, the location, it changes the way you think, the decisions you make. And the same is true in dating. And so one of the wise parameters we can put around our dating is, where am I going to look for someone to date? I want to show you a verse in the Bible. Today we're going to look at several verses that are called Proverbs. And so if you have a Bible, you can turn to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. If you don't have a Bible with you, that's totally fine because we'll put the verses on the screen for you to read. If you don't own a Bible, we would love to give you one. There's no catch, there's no cost, there's no nothing. Stop by the Velcro bar on the way out. The Velcro bar is our connecting place. If you want to connect with somebody, say hi. If you want to remain anonymous today, we totally respect that. Just grab a Bible, you don't have to say anything, and just keep walking. But the book of Proverbs, Proverbs are like wise wisdom for life. And the book of Proverbs just has all these short statements that provide wisdom for living. And we're going to look at several of them. So if you have a Bible, just leave your Bible open to Proverbs. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26 says this. It says, make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. So here's what that's saying is, in life, walk a wise path. Man, when you walk, when you live, make wise decisions because it's going to give you a lot better life, you know? And we can apply this to dating as well. Man, be wise in this whole issue of dating, and especially where you search for a person, because where you look for people is going to affect the kind of people you find and the kind of decisions that you make. Sometimes I'll be talking to somebody and this wife will say, Vince, I don't know what to do. My husband is never home. He's always out drinking with his buddies. And I'll be like, man, I'm really sorry. But where do the two of you meet? At a bar? Right? Or they'll say, a guy will say, man, Vince, I'm starting to suspect that my wife is cheating on me. I'm pretty sure. And I'll be like, oh, that's awful. Now tell me, how do the two of you meet? Well, we were both married, and one night at work, like we were both upset with our spouses, and we started to talk, and some things happened. Yeah. Vince, I think my husband, he's always looking at other women. I always catch him looking at other women. Man, where did the two of you meet? Hooters. It's for the wings. It was the way, right? It's like, you know, where you find a person is going to dictate the kind of person you find. It's going to dictate the kind of decisions that you make. And so search in the kind of places, the right kind of places, where you'll find the right kind of person. That's the second principle, right places, right people. There's a guy named Neil Warren, and he's a psychologist. He studies marriages. He's a Christian psychologist, but he studies marriages, and he's written this book called Finding the Love of Your Life. And after studying, you know, tons of marriages, here's the conclusion he comes to in this book. He says that the decision of who you will marry, you know, choosing the right person is more important to the success of your marriage than every other factor combined. Okay, so he's saying, pick the right person. Put some parameters, not only around where you're going to search, but what kind of person am I looking for? What exactly am I looking for in a spouse? Okay, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about maybe what we should be looking for. It's in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 7. We'll put this on the screen as well. But it says this. It says, the Lord, put it on the screen, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Isn't that true? It says, we tend to look at the externals, but what God looks at in us and people is what's inside. But we look at the externals. Like, think about this. Ladies, if you're single and you started dating a guy, and then you were together with your girlfriends, and you said, man, I'm starting to see this new guy, what's the first question they'll probably ask? My guess is, what's he do for a living? And it's kind of an external kind of thing. Guys, if you start dating a new girl and you're hanging out with, like, your guy friends, and you say, guys, I'm dating this new girl, what's the first question they're going to ask? What she look like, right? Guaranteed, right? Well, what she look like, right? It's all about externals, right? It's all about the externals. And the question that you need to decide is, what's going to attract you to a person? If you're single, if you're a parent and you're going to have to coach your child through the dating years, what should it be that attracts you to a person. I like the way the Bible talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. We'll put this on the screen too. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says this. It says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair, because we all know how sexy that is. This is a different time, okay? This was written 2,000 years ago. Apparently, that was hot stuff back then. Was you put some braids in your hair? Watch out, boys! Your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry, still kind of the same, and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, notice in this verse, it does not say that you can't wear nice jewelry. It doesn't say you can't put on some nice clothes. It doesn't say you can't braid your hair. What it does say, you can do those things, but what it's saying is your beauty, your attractiveness should not come from this outward adornment, but instead it should come from who you are on the inside. It should come from your character, from the person who you are. And what you look for in another person should not be these external things. How's their hair look? How's their clothes? What kind of car they drive? Are they good looking? It should be, man, what's this person really like on the inside? Now, there are a lot of couples who, man, like they've danced together, but they have never worked through a conflict together. And this couple has blown half of their paycheck on dinner and a show, but they have never discussed, like, the issue of personal money management and how do you approach money. This couple has, maybe they've fallen in love with each other's abs and glutes and pecs, things I'm pretty sure I don't have, but they've never explored each other's inner world to figure out who is this person really? Who is this person? You know, and those are questions we need to ask, and we need to find out sooner, not later. You know, the reason we need to find out sooner is because we will find out eventually. That's the problem. Jesus talked about this once. It's in Matthew chapter 7, and he talked about this. He gave us a little lesson where he said, a bad tree will produce bad fruit. And he said, but a good tree will produce good fruit. And it's like, thank you, Jesus. If I ever buy a plantation, I will remember that lesson on horticulture, but that doesn't affect you. But he's actually not talking about trees. He's talking about people. And what Jesus is saying is this. It's kind of like with a tree. You could look at a tree a certain time of year and be like, I have no idea what kind of tree that is. But you come back a little while later, you're like, apples! It is an apple tree, right? Because it's going to come out. And there are people that you could, especially like in a dating relationship, where you can go a long time before you know what kind of person this is, right? Because you're just kind of looking at the outer stuff, and then one day it's like, bananas, right? You're like, crap, he's a banana tree, right? No, you know? And so, you know, you have this guy, and you just kind of looked at all this stuff where you're like, man, he dresses cool, and he drives a cool car, and he's got lots of money, and then one day it comes out. What's inside, you realize, he is a player who will cheat on me if he gets a chance. Right? There's this girl, and you're like, man, she is fun, and she is pretty, and she smells good. And then one day you realize she's psycho, right? I just didn't know. The fruit hadn't come out yet, you know? And so you need to find out sooner instead of later, because you will find out eventually. And so here's what I would encourage you to do. This is what I'm going to encourage my kids to do. I would encourage you, as you enter into a dating relationship, and we're trying to figure out, is this the right person, to ask a bunch of questions, like of yourself, what we could call like what lies beneath questions, okay? So you're going to ask questions about this person like, what does this person talk about the most? When I spend time with this person, do I feel encouraged and affirmed? Does this person serve other people? Or is it always about them? You know, in the parking lot, they need to get the best parking space. When we go out for dinner, they choose the restaurant. Go out to the movies, they choose the movie. And when we're watching TV, they hold the remote control. How does this person treat their parents? Do I enjoy spending time with this person? if we were to abstain from all physical contact, would I enjoy spending a lot of time with this person? Is there anything about their personality that I just can't tolerate? You know, I would just ask all these what lies beneath kind of questions, because the reality is you are going to find out. And so find out sooner, not later, because you need to make sure that this is the right person. Now, the most important what lies beneath question, in my opinion, is the question, does this person love Jesus? If you're someone who loves Jesus, and you may not be today, but if you are, you need to ask the question, does this person love Jesus? Man, I have people come up to me all the time, and they'll say things like, this guy will come up and he'll say, dude, Vince, I met the right girl, man. I'm so excited. Like she is cool. She looks cool. She laughs cool. She smells cool, man. And get this, like, I love basketball. She loves basketball. I love pizza. She loves pizza. We were like a match made in heaven. God has given me the girl that I am supposed to marry. And I'll be like, man, that's awesome. Way to go. That's great. Now, tell me about her relationship with God. And it'll be like, well, I don't know about that. Like, we haven't really talked about that yet. I'm not sure. And I'll be like, well, like, does she have a relationship with Jesus? And it'll be like, man, I don't know. Like, I mean, like, on Friday night when we went on our date, we drove past a church. I saw it. I think we drove past a church, but we didn't really mention it. I don't really know about that. But I do know this. This is the girl that God gave me to marry. Nope. No. And that's not just my opinion. That's what God says. There's a verse in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. We'll put it on the screen for you, and I'll explain it. It says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. You read that and ask, what do eggs have to do with this? What are we talking about yoke for? I don't get it, right? Not that kind of yoke. A yoke is an instrument that's put over the backs of two animals, okay? And it connects those animals together. The reason that you would put a yoke on two animals is because they would be pulling a plow together. And so what you do is you yoke them together so that they will walk in the same direction at the same speed. Okay, because if those two animals are pulling in different directions, I mean, it's going to be a mess, right? It's not going to work. So you yoke them together with this instrument, this piece of wood. And so this verse says, do not get in a yoked kind of relationship, okay? It could be a business partnership. It could be all kinds of things. But especially, certainly, a marriage that is a committed, you know, forever kind of relationship with someone who is not walking in the same spiritual direction as you are, and probably even at approximately the same speed. Now, some of you might hear that and be like, that is not fair. That's not fair of God. Like, that totally limits my playing field, man. There's not that many good ones out there, and if you restrict it like that, that's just not fair of God. No. It's not that it's not fair of God. What this is loving of God. This is completely loving of God. And the reason God says this is because he loves both of those people. He loves the person who is currently a believer, and just as much, he loves the person who is not currently a believer. Okay? He loves both of them. And what he knows is that it would not be right, it would not be fair to those two people to bring them into a committed forever marriage kind of relationship. And the reason is, man, when you're in that kind of relationship, you want to share the most important thing in your life with the most important person in your life. And what it means to be a believer, what it means to be a Christian is, man, I've decided God's the most important thing in my life. Like, following Jesus, most important thing in my life. And so how do I live my life where I've decided that, you know, God is the one for me, and I want to follow Jesus, and I want to pour my life and my resources into this, and I want to make my decisions based on this. How do I share my life with somebody who thinks that that's not important at all, doesn't want to pour their life, doesn't want to pour their resources, doesn't want to, you know, kind of consider that when they make decisions? How do we build a life together? That just doesn't work. We can't build a healthy marriage together. It's not fair to either person. It's not just, hey, Christians, don't get married, not Christians. It's like, man, if you're not a Christian, if you're not yet a Christian, don't marry a Christian. That'd be a huge mistake for you. You know, if those two people were to get married, there's two possibilities of what might happen. Okay? If this person who believes and this person who doesn't believe get married, one option, one possibility is that instead of this like beautiful intimacy in their marriage where they're sharing the most important things and they're making decisions together and it's this cool relational beautiful kind of dance where we're trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus together and to love God together, and instead of like this really cool intimacy, what that's going to be replaced with is friction. Right? Because like I'm trying to make decisions this way and you're this way and I'm trying to go this way and you're trying to go that way and I think God's leading us to this and you don't even care what God might be leading us to. And so instead of like this intimacy, there's going to be this friction. That's the better option. That's the best possible alternative of what might happen. The other possibility is that this person who has decided, I want to follow Jesus in my life, I want to love God in my life, will get pulled in the opposite direction by this person who's like, that's not the decisions I've made for my life. And so they might get pulled away from God. That's probably the more likely possibility. And so I would just say, if you're single, this may be difficult to hear, okay? Because, you know, it limits your playing field. But if you're single, don't give up on this one. Don't give up on this one. Because there are way too many couples. I could actually set up meetings with hundreds of people who I know who would tell you, man, I love God, right? And I come to church on like Sunday and I just get so pumped up, you know? And I leave there and I'm, you know, I've had a chance to like worship God and I leave and I'm just like, man, I want to live for God. I want to go do this for God. I want to try this. And then I go home and my spouse, I can't share that. If I try to, they're not interested or they think it's dumb. And it's the most depressing, frustrating thing in my life. And I want to tell you, if you're in that marriage right now, God can help you through that. But if you're not yet married, you don't have to get to that place. You can make decisions now that will prevent you from ever getting to that place. So don't give up on this one. It may be difficult, but just make this commitment. I am looking in the right places for the right person. You know, what lies beneath? That's what's going to attract me to a person. And more than anything else, if I'm someone who loves Jesus, I need to find someone who loves Jesus too. Okay? Right places, right people, right timing, right timing. What happens for too many of us is we want our needs met too quickly, which makes sense, right? Like, I mean, I got needs, I want my needs met in all kinds of ways, right? Like, that's why I eat too much, and that's why I this, and that's why I that. But man, it's a really dangerous problem when it comes to dating and getting married. Now, I want to show you some more Proverbs. The first one's Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20. Proverbs 29, verse 20. We'll put this on the screen for you as well in a sec. But it says this. It says, do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than him. It's saying, man, people who jump too quickly into things get themselves in all kinds of trouble. And personally, I don't know anywhere where this is more true than with marriage. I know this pastor, this is a true story. This woman came up to him and she said, Pastor, would you perform my wedding? I want to get married. And he said, yeah, that's great. I could probably perform the wedding. When are you planning on doing it? She said, tomorrow. He said, well, that's kind of quick. We require premarital counseling and we need to like set up and talk through the wedding. So I would say at the earliest, probably 4 months from now. And, you know, especially because we need you to go through that premarital counseling to prepare you to have a healthy and successful wedding. And she said, that's silly. I've already been married 3 times. There's nothing you can tell me about marriage that I don't already know. Really? Really? See, but what happens is we just jump in too quick. Now, I've had kind of starry-eyed couple come up to me, you know, time after time and say, Vince, man, like we found each other. We're so excited. We love each other so much. We're perfect for each other. We've been dating for like 3 months, and we want you to marry us. And I just want to look this couple in the eye and say, 3 months? Like, do you have any idea what it means to take this vow till death do us part? Do you have any idea? I mean, it means dirty dishes. and dirty diapers. It means communication glitches. It means mortgage payments. It means bouncing checks. It means dealing with in-laws. It means dealing with expanding waistlines and receding hairlines. You know, it means dealing with, you know, deaths in the family and trying to figure out how to parent. And you have no idea. Honestly, you have no idea what you two will go through if you make this commitment over the course of your life. But you think you're ready to go through it because you've known each other for a couple months. Really? But what do you think your chances are of marital success and happiness? The problem is we just jump too quick. And I think for a lot of people, and this is... This is normal, is what it is. And so you may be single and you're like, that's me. And someday my kids are going to be at this place where it's them. What happens is we get afraid. We're eager because we're afraid, right? Because we think, you know, what if I never find anybody? So I don't know if this is the perfect person, but they're here, you know, and this is my chance to get married. And what if I never have another chance, you know, because I don't think there would be anything worse than being single for the rest of my life. There is something worse than being single for the rest of your life. It's being married to the wrong person. That's worse. There are a lot of proverbs about this, actually. And I'm going to read you, I think, four of them. And they're a little bit funny, okay? So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 9, we'll put it on the screen, says this. Better to live on a corner of the roof, so like on your rooftop, exposed to the elements, than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Verse 19, same chapter, says, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. Proverbs 27, verse 15 says, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. And then Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4 says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. Do you want to guess that those were written by a man? No, really? I think that some women who married the wrong guy could also write some proverbs of their own, right? Like, better to have your skin removed by a cheese grater than be married to a husband who always thinks he's right, you know? Better to have a double root canal with no Novocaine than to be married to a husband who never picks up his underwear and thinks that there's this dishwasher fairy who takes all the dirty dishes and puts them in the dishwasher while he sleeps at night. Better to be eaten alive by a rabid gerbil than to live with a husband who won't get off the couch and play with the kids and take me out on a date, right? And so it goes both ways. But the idea of these proverbs is this. God's telling us, man, there's something worse than the feeling that you may have of being single, and it's being married to the wrong person. So don't be so quick to jump. Don't be hasty. You know, go through a long dating process. And it's not only this is not only my idea. Researchers at Kansas State University, did I already say this? No, I didn't. I'm getting my services confused. Wow, that's weird. Researchers at Kansas State University have been studying dating and marriage for a long time. Check this out. Through all their studying of marriages and dating, what they've discovered is that people who go through a long dating process have a much higher percentage of likelihood of having a healthy, successful marriage, whereas people who go through a short, hasty courtship have a much higher percentage of marital disaster. It's just true. And so you need to take time, maybe take a year or two to figure out who is this person really? What lies beneath? Not what can I see, but who is this person really? To make sure. Now, I tried to look in the right places. Now I need to make sure this is the right person. But it goes even deeper. Because it's not only about whether or not this is the right person to marry. It's also about, are you the right person at this point to get married? Are you ready to get married and to be the kind of spouse that another person would need? So how do you know? How do you know if you're really ready to enter into a process of dating and trying to find the right person and moving into marriage? Here's what I think. You are not ready to get married until you are content being single. You are not ready to get married until you are content being single. It's true. Now, if you're a Christian, Christians are called by God in the Bible to be content no matter what their circumstances are. Okay? And that's not a bad idea for anybody, you know, to learn to be content in the circumstances you find yourself in. And so if you are a person, if you're single and you're just feeling like, I have to be married, I can't be alone anymore, I can't be single, I have to get married. Well, then what that says is you have not yet learned to be content in the circumstance of being single. And so you may be praying for a spouse, God, give me Mr. Right, give me Mr. Right, I need to get married. But if God were to give you that spouse that you're looking for, what God would be doing is he would be shortchanging a learning process that he wants to take you through. He would be circumventing this, maybe the most important journey you will ever go through in your life, which is the journey of discovering that God is enough. That God is enough, because he is. When you really move into a relationship with God where it's not religion anymore, I mean, God and I have this relationship, and you orient your life in such a way that it's like, I'm living my life with God now. What you discover is that God can meet every need I have, and God is enough for me. And so that's when I'm ready to get married, when I'm content being single, because I've learned that I'm okay as long as I have God. And if you don't do that, if you say, screw that, I'm going to get married. You know, I'm not content being single. I need to get married, so I'm going to get married, okay? Then what happens is you are setting up your marriage for disaster. You really are. And the reason for that, you see it every time you get in an elevator. Every time you get in an elevator. Have you ever noticed when you get in an elevator, there's a little sign there that says maximum weight and then some sort of, you know, 1,400 pounds. Have you ever been on an elevator? It's really crowded. There's some big people, and you start looking around doing the math. You're like, you got to be 310, man. And oh, I think I want to get off this thing, because what happens if you go above the maximum weight? And the answer, if you're above the maximum weight, is the elevator is not going to work. You might, you know, you might plummet to your death, right? Here's the problem. The problem is this. You, not him or her, you were designed to have your soul filled with God, okay? There is an emptiness in your soul that can only be filled by God. That's true. And your heart was designed to be loved perfectly. And that's what you long for. And the only one who can love your heart perfectly, who can love you perfectly, is God. But if you have not yet gotten to a place where you realize that God is enough for me, that God is everything, that God is the only one who can fill my soul and meet my love need, then what's going to happen when you move into a dating relationship or you move into a marriage is that you're going to look to this other person to meet those needs in your life, okay? You're going to look to this person to fill this emptiness in your soul, to love you perfectly, and that person can't do it. So what you will do is you will put too much weight on that relationship. You will put pressure and expectations on that relationship that relationship cannot handle. And so what will happen is that relationship will not work, or it will just plummet to its death, okay? Just like the elevator. My guess is if you are currently in a marriage and this marriage is just not what you thought it was going to be, I would bet that the reason is this. If you were in a marriage and your marriage fell apart and ended in divorce because that marriage was just not what you thought it was going to be, there is a very high likelihood that the reason is this. It's not because you were the wrong person, they were the wrong person. The reason is you had not yet gotten to a place where you knew that God was enough, and you looked to God to meet your needs and to fill that space inside of you and to love you perfectly. And so it's great to have a spouse, but I don't need your love because I have God's love. And you put so much pressure and so much weight on that relationship, it can't bear it and it will not work. It just won't work. What we need to do is we need to get to a place where we put God at the center of our life. He's not just something I show up for on Sunday. It's not about religion for me. It's like I am learning little by little, I am learning how to do life with God. And so every day, I spend some time where I talk to him, and man, it's awkward at first, but I'm getting better at it, and I open myself up, and I kind of share my life with him and tell him what I'm concerned with and what I'm excited about, and I tell him I need to be loved, and man, something happens in those moments, and something happening in my life where God is becoming enough for me. And when that happens, you're ready to get married. When that happens, you're ready to be a good spouse to someone else because you don't need them. And you're not going to try to make them God because they can't be. So, right places, right people, right timing. And I just want to say very briefly to maybe that some of the married couples we have in this room, it's possible that you're hearing all this and you're like, why didn't somebody tell me all that years ago? Because it's too late for me. Because I married the wrong person and our marriage is not what I want to be and it's not working. I wish somebody had told me that years ago. It's too late. It's not too late. It's not on your own, maybe, but man, you bring God into your marriage. It's not too late. There is a God. We have a God who brings life from death. He can resurrect dead things. And he can bring healing to your marriage, and he can give you the marriage that you hope for. But it's very possible you're going to have to learn a different perspective on marriage, that you're going to have to learn to do marriage in a different way, to bring some different tools into your marriage to figure out how do we do marriage in God's way. And you're certainly going to have to bring God into your marriage. And if you're wondering how do we do that, be here next week, okay? Dating, mating, and procreating. Mating, we're going to talk all about marriage next week and how to do that. All right, so be here next week. For now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you guys some time. We do this every week. And part of the reason that we do this is we want to give you time with the lover of your soul, with the only one who can love your heart perfectly. And we want to give you that time so that you have a chance in this service to just pray if you pray, if you're there yet, to just open yourself up to being loved by God and let God know, I need you. The other reason we do this is because we say this every week, but we don't want you to leave here and say, that was a good service, check it off, and then just go on to whatever. We're not here to gather lessons and gather teaching. We're here to have our lives changed by God and what he's teaching us. And so we just encourage you during this time to kind of process through, what did I experience? What did I hear? What did I learn? And how does that impact my life? So what? Does this matter? And how is it going to matter tomorrow? So what do I need to do with this? Okay, so I would encourage you to ask those questions. During this time, our band's going to play a song, and we also make communion available. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent the body and blood of Jesus given on the cross. And that is beautiful and weird, right, and tangible. It's just this really cool way that we have of experiencing the love of God. You know, of holding in our hands this idea that God loved me so perfectly, he was willing to sacrifice his life for me to make me right with him. You know, and what we learn in communion, what we learn when we hold the bread and the juice is, you know, I have really messed up my life, but I am still loved perfectly. It's a beautiful thing. So if you'd like to make communion part of your worship experience today, it's available at the tables on the sides of the room with candlelight. If you're like, whoa, dude, this has got way too much for me. Like, I have not been in church in like, I don't know how long, and this is weird. So you can just stay in your seat. There's a cool song coming up. You can just listen to that and maybe just take a chance to say, what's my next step? Like if I was to go on this journey, if it's true, if it might be true that I was designed to have God in my soul and to be loved by him, what would be the next step to get me towards that place? All right, so I'm going to pray. We'll give you a few minutes, and then the band's going to kind of guide you through that time. Let's pray. God, I think every person in this room, if we were just being really honest today, would admit that we have this need inside of us, this vacuum inside of us that's looking to be filled, this heart that wants to be loved perfectly. And so I just want to thank you for offering us what we need. That everything we need is found in you. And some of us, maybe that may seem like crazy talk. That might seem very foreign, that idea. But I have experienced, and there's a lot of people in this room who would say, man, everything I need is found in God. I never would have believed that, but it's true. God, would you teach us maybe the most important lesson we can learn, that you are enough, that you are everything, everything we need. God, for those of us who are in this dating phase or maybe needing to parent our kids through the dating phase, would you help us to look in the right places for the right people and to only do it in the right timing when we know that you are enough and we're content being single? God, for those of us in marriages, maybe maybe who have been in marriages that have ended, maybe today brought up some bitterness, some weird questions and confusion and some emotions that are kind of raw. And I just thank you for being a God who soothes all that and who can help us to find healing and to bring us where we need to go, that it's not, there's no such thing as hopeless when you're part of the equation. And we see that in communion. You know, we see Jesus dying dead on a cross, and then 3 days later there's new life. And you can bring us to that new life to us individually and to our marriages, and so thank you for that. God, we pray all these things. We give you this time. We seek you in Jesus' name.